Father, thank you for what you did last week in our midst. Thank you for the grace, for the blessing, for the favor we keep enjoying in your presence like this every day. Thank you because only you could have brought your word to us like this consistently over the past 37 weeks. Blessed be your name in Jesus' name. And Lord, we ask that you turn our lives around. Let the spirit of the word also enter into us today in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. The topic remains the law of kindness. Last week, we were able to see the topic that says the law of discipline. Praise the Lord. So, last week, we understood what discipline really means and how to maximize that for our lives. Today, it is the law of kindness. Let's read some scriptures. Proverbs 31:26 says, "She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness." 2 Peter chapter 1, 5-9, it says, "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you'll be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, for he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed for his old sins." What is kindness? Let's see how the world describes kindness. It says, "Kindness is a type of behavior marked by acts of generosity, consideration, rendering assistance, or concern for others without expecting praise or reward in return." That is Wikipedia. Then Google Dictionary says, "Kindness is the quality of being friendly, generous, and considerate." What is kindness? Now we are looking at good success. What is God saying about kindness? If you look at 2 Peter chapter 1, 5-9, it's surprised that God begins to mention some things. He mentioned that for you to be diligent, you're supposed to have some things. But God is saying, if you are diligent in all the things you're supposed to do, to your diligence add faith. Then add virtue to faith. Be strong in your faith. That's virtue, strength, power. Then, with all your strength, make sure you are knowledgeable, because power without knowledge is not good. Then it says, when you have all the knowledge in the world, make sure you have some self-control. You must be able to put some limits, some discipline to your knowledge. Then it says, with all your self-control, have perseverance. Don't just have self-control for one day. It needs to persevere. It needs to be consistent. It needs to be continuous. Then it says, to your perseverance, add godliness. You can say you are persevering, you are going through so many things, but make sure godliness is the mark of your perseverance. That is what that is saying. And it's saying, even with all your godliness, all your righteousness, doing what God commands, doing everything it says, add kindness to it. That is a surprise to me. Why would I need to add kindness to godliness? Is kindness not part of godliness? It means you can be so godly, doing everything God commands, and you can at the same time forget kindness. So God is saying, add kindness to it. Then he says, to your kindness, your brotherly kindness, kindness to brothers in the faith, he says, add love to it. So God is saying all these things need to work hand in hand for you to become that man that has transgenerational success, that is able to pass his success from one level to another. What is kindness? Kindness is when you have pity on people. Not only pity, not only being considerate, but backing it up by action. That is kindness. You need to be able to back it up by action. Praise God. So, pity and kindness are not the same. One of the things we mentioned that we are going to know in this teaching is that we are going to know what kindness is and what kindness is not. It is not only important for us to know what kindness is, we must also understand what it is not. Kindness is not pity. Pity or feeling or compassion could be the beginning of kindness. But kindness is talking about the action that comes from the feeling you feel towards a situation. One is a feeling, the other is an action. But your kindness is most times based on your feeling. Jesus was moved with compassion, but went beyond that to heal and deliver the oppressed. So many people, many Christians, many people in the world, they have a lot of pity, a lot of compassion, but they will never back it up by action. So God is saying, yes, you feel what that person is going through. You can see that unbeliever in a state of unbelieving life, the way he's smoking, the way he's drinking, you can feel for him. But don't stop there. Take an extra action to pull him out of the pit that he's in. You can see somebody is suffering who does not have food to eat. You're like, see what this person is going through. That is not enough. You need to also go ahead to not only pity him, but to take steps to deliver him from that situation. Mike Murdock told a story about a lawyer, a well-known lawyer who was having success, a very great success in his practice. And the people on time were like, see, we saw that all the situations, the information is not different from what other people have. But why are you always having this success? He said, if I told you, you won't believe it. They said, no, we want to know. They said they didn't tell them for a long time. Then one of the people under him wanted to leave that city and go to another place and want to stop working with him. And he said, okay, come with me. Let's go to a place. And he said, he drove a long distance to a far away place. He went to a family there. And they saw somebody was, amputated, sitting there. He brought groceries, a lot of groceries, and gave it to them. And later I told the young man, I said, the reason I'm able to have this success is because I have feelings for these people. I really care about these people. That is why I am able to have a lot of success with them. I really care about them. If you really want to have success with people, if you really want to mentor people, if you really want to impact people positively, even your business depends on this. Your career depends on this. You need to put yourself in their shoes. You need to have compassion on these people. For example, if you are selling a good, you need to make sure that people really need that good. That's when you can have good success with it. If they don't need it and you are selling it, your success will be short-term. For example, if you are into agriculture, you produce food for people, or you produce any kind of service for people, stay in their shoes. Whatever you are presenting to them, ask yourself, do I really love this thing I'm presenting? For example, I do a lot of designs for people. And one of the things I do is, any design I'm giving to people, if I don't love it, naturally I think the person will not love it. So I do it to my own satisfaction first. I make sure I love it myself before I give it to people. And to a good extent, almost 99% of people love what we do. Because I enjoy what I've done. If I have not enjoyed it, I'm already in doubt that the person looking at it will not enjoy it. The success rate has been super good. Why? Because I also enjoy what I've done. So put yourself in the shoes of people. Now, we said we're going to understand what kindness is and what it is not. Kindness and pity are not the same. Pity and compassion is just the feeling you have for people. Kindness is when you go a step further to save people, to help people out of the situation they are in. Kindness is a fruit of the Spirit. Kindness is written in Galatians 5:22. He said, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness. He said, against such there is no law. Who can do a law against kindness? No one. Kindness is a house built on the foundation of love. We are trying to understand what kindness is. For you to be really kind indeed, your kindness must be built on love, the God kind of love. What is kindness? Kindness can be seen from Jesus in his compassion. Jesus was not just compassionate. He was compassionate and he went a step further to save people from their situations based on the power available to him. You and I also have a power available to us. Go a step further in just feeling what people are going through. Take a step further to be able to help people as much as God has given you grace. And the question tonight is, how should I be kind? Be kind in your words. In Proverbs 31:26 that we read, it says, there is a law of kindness in our mouth. Put a law of kindness in your mouth, that you won't just talk harshly to people, Before you speak that word out, God said, be quick to hear, but slow to speak. You may have heard what people have said to you. You may have heard somebody talk to you negatively. He said, before you reply, before you give a response, before you talk to someone, before you talk to people, he said, quickly check by yourself and see if you can just filter those words. The Bible says in Colossians, I think it's Colossians 3:16, it says, let your speech be seasoned with salt, that you may be able to impart grace to those you are talking to. Paraphrased by me now. Now, God is saying, you must filter your words so that kindness will proceed from your tongue. How should I be kind? In our words, in our actions. Discipline can come with harshness. Remember what we did last week is the law of discipline. If you want to walk by discipline alone, oh my goodness, you'll be harsh to everybody. Some people want to interrupt your time. You'll be harsh to them. You say, no, I don't have time. I've planned my time like this. I've gone through that before. That no, this time I've scheduled it to do this thing. But later I understood that even though you have scheduled your time, there are times you have to bend. That the law of kindness will just prevail over what you have done. So in your actions, be kind. In your actions, use the resources God has given you, the talents God has given you to show kindness to people. Another question is, what does kindness do? What does kindness do? Number one, kindness does not judge others. The Bible says in Matthew, it says, do not judge so that you not be judged. Do you know why you shouldn't judge? Because you yourself, you have weaknesses. There was a story told by Kenneth Hagin. I'm just going to shorten the story. He said there was this maybe minister's conference or something like that, that the leader of the ministry chastised one of the pastors. And everybody came to Kenneth Hagin and said, oh, what do you think about that judgment pronounced by the head of the ministry? He said, of course, it's the right thing to do. That man, what he did, of course, it was in other ways saying that what that pastor that was judged did was wrong. And guess what? It's like a simple thing. It's obvious that what the pastor that was judged did was wrong. The pastor that gave the judgment, it was obvious that he did the right thing. But at night, he said he just saw that he couldn't sleep. He was like, why can't I sleep? I normally get on my bed and sleep anytime I want to sleep. But this time around, I couldn't sleep. And he said, Jesus came physically to his room and accused him. I said, why are you judging another man's servant? There's a scripture in the Bible that says, why are you judging another man's servant? So he said, Jesus quoted that same scripture to him. Why are you judging another man's servant? And he was like, I didn't judge anyone. He said, when you said something so about that brother, he said, Jesus called that person a brother. He said, have you not judged the person? And he said, immediately he realized that what he did was wrong. That he just apologized and Jesus forgave him and he just went to bed and slept. You know, God said, don't judge. You know, another thing Jesus told him was that if you were in the same situation with that man, you will have done worse. So before you judge somebody, before you think, oh, that person just committed immorality and just impregnated another person, before you judge, ask yourself, if you are in the same situation, you don't know what you're going to do. If you are not going to do what that person did, it's because God helped you. If you are not going to lie in that situation, it's because God helped you. So we must understand that if you and I are going to really, really do well in this kingdom and are going to please God at all times, then the law of kindness must be in our mouth. We must not judge others. Number two, kindness forgives and is not bitter. Ephesians 4:31-32 tells us to be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. You can see that all these things work together. And he added the clause that even as God in Christ forgave you, you and I are not qualified to receive God's forgiveness, but God forgave us anyway. In fact, before we came to know Christ, God already prepared our forgiveness. He just wanted us to accept it. So you can't be bitter and better at the same time. Kindness should override all the sins that other people have done. The Bible says mercy prevails over judgment. There is this thing I heard in my sleep this morning when I woke up. I believe God is the one speaking and I don't know who this one is for. He says, they slide from mercy to judgment so they cannot be forgiven. Let me explain. I understand what it means. What it means is that, you know, normally as a child of God, you and I are in the place of mercy. We enjoy mercy through the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's saying that some people have slipped away from mercy. from the zone of mercy, they have slipped to judgment, so they cannot be forgiven anymore. That is what it's saying. May you and I not be found in that place in the name of Jesus. And how do we avoid it? Avoid judging other people. Forgive other people. Because Jesus obviously told us that there was a man that was forgiven a great sin. You know, he had a lot of debt and his master forgave him. His master wanted to jail him, but he forgave him because he asked for mercy. But he said that same man went outside and saw somebody that owed him little. No matter what anybody has done against you, it is little compared to what you have done against Christ and against God. But God has forgiven you. So he's saying no matter what anyone else has done against you, you must forgive. One of the ways we can slide away from mercy to judgment is if we refuse to forgive other people, we will definitely be in the judgment of God and will not be forgiven. That's it. God said if you find out you are praying or you want to give an offering or you want to do something in the church and you find out that somebody has something against you or you have something against someone, he said, don't bother going ahead with that spiritual exercise. Go ahead to settle the case with your brother and come back. We are still in kindness. So kindness forgives and is not bitter. You can't be bitter and better at the same time. Kindness bears with other people's weaknesses. Why? Because you also are full of several weaknesses. The Bible says we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency may be of God and not of us. That means everyone you see doing great things for God, mention all the great men of God you know. They are also people with weaknesses. If you are close to them, you discover so many weaknesses that you cannot even imagine. So God is saying, before you judge anyone, you yourself, you are full of weaknesses. So because of that, bear with other people's weaknesses. And I think I mentioned it last week. The reason you can mentor other people is because you yourself, you have weaknesses. You know, there's somebody I know that the reason I've been able to forgive the person several times is because I remember that I've also failed people several times. I've done several wrong things and people have been magnanimous enough to forgive me. So it's easier for me to forgive them because I've also been forgiven. And I've also realized that I also have many weaknesses, but people overlook it and still relate with me. So the same way, you yourself must be able to forgive others. Be kind towards them. Don't talk harshly. And even if you talk harshly, be ready to also settle that with something else. Kindness is good to others. What does kindness do? We mentioned that kindness does not judge others. Kindness forgives and is not bitter. Kindness bears with other people's weaknesses. And kindness is good to others. Be good to others. Galatians 6, 9 to 10 tells us that we should not be weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. It says, as we have opportunity, and I can bet it, that opportunity will come to you every day. It says, do good to all, especially those of the household of faith. What does kindness do? Kindness is patient and forbears. We have also treated that. So be patient. Forbear. That's bear with people. Be kind. Be patient. Then kindness puts itself in the shoes of others. We've also mentioned that. So how do I maximize kindness for good success? How do I maximize kindness? Number one, kindness is not weakness. We must understand that. I think we mentioned something like this too. Don't allow weakness to replace kindness. They are not the same. There are some times that people do things and they really need to be disciplined, especially if you have children. Yes, you are kind towards your child, but that is not the same as weakness in applying proper discipline. So there are some things that, you know, some people, now if you look at it at the other hand too, some people think you are weak because you are kind. Don't be deceived. Still be kind anyway, but don't think kindness is weakness, and don't let anyone deceive you with that. Number two, kindness is not foolishness. You must separate pity from kindness. Now, some people will think because you are kind, they want to take advantage of you and all that. You must understand that kindness is not foolishness. You must understand how to apply wisdom. We treated wisdom before, we treated discipline before. Apply wisdom and know how to really even show kindness to people, which takes us to the third thing under how to maximize kindness. Kindness uses the appropriate channel to help. Sometimes you need to avoid directly giving to the poor in your church. If your church has an organized channel of helping them, we need to understand that very well. Now, it doesn't mean that you can't give to people, even if you have that organized channel. But what I'm saying is that some people will take advantage of your kindness. So if there is a very good platform for giving, for being kind, for showing kindness, use that channel, because it may be able to reach those who really need it. Of course, you can still give directly to people, but it's just saying that there are times that you just have to avoid the direct one. You can use a proper channel if it is organized. Now, number four, how do we maximize kindness? Temper judgment with mercy. We mentioned it before, don't judge other people. Now, there are times you are supposed to judge people. There are times that people deserve the punishment you want to give them. But God is saying, temper judgment with mercy. That is how to maximize kindness. Though you are not supposed to give somebody something, you can just override it and still give it. There will still be blessing if you do it in the name of Christ. Now, stay within your means. That's how to maximize kindness. Don't overdo it. Don't go and borrow. For example, somebody needs something. You went to borrow to be able to be kind. You may not really need that, except it's a matter of life and death. So if it's a normal thing, somebody says he needs money for something, you now went to borrow to be able to give, I don't think that's wise, at least not in all situations. So kindness requires that you stay within your means. Love others like yourself, not more than yourself. Now, kindness requires humility. For you to be really kind, you need to be humble. Because if you are not humble, you are not going to see anyone. Pride makes us see nothing. That's how I will put it. It makes us see nothing. You won't even see those who need the help around you. So kindness requires humility. And also, just as part of how to maximize kindness for good success, kindness is a seed that brings a similar harvest. For you to maximize kindness, you must understand, have that understanding. If you don't have that understanding, you may not see the blessing. So understand that kindness is a seed that brings a similar harvest. If you want to enjoy kindness in life, then be kind to people. If you want to enjoy mercy, be merciful. If you want to enjoy financial blessings, then give financial gifts to people. That is it. Sow to God, give to people. Then remember, you are not God. Let God do his own part. Do your own part. Some of us want to become God to people. No, you are not God. God is the kindest person ever. So let him do his work and do the one it allows you to do. Simple. There is no pressure. What are the hidden costs of kindness? Number one, there are financial implications. For you to be really kind, there will be something touching your pocket. Money will leave your pocket for you to show kindness. You want to give a gift to people, you will spend money to buy a gift. You want to help somebody pay hospital bills, it's money. So there are financial implications for kindness. There are hidden costs. Those you are even being kind to may not know the extent that you have gone. They may not know the cost to you. For example, you only have, let's say, 10,000 and somebody needs an hospital bill of 8,000 and you give 8,000. Now, maybe you have a million naira bill to pay, but you give out of your 10,000, 8,000. The person just says thank you. The person doesn't really know the cost of that money to you. You are the one who knows the cost, but of course you don't have to tell them. So there is financial implication. Then there is emotional implication. There is the emotional part, that being kind to people, there are some people, because you are being kind to them, seeing what they are going through alone. If you go to the hospital, you are going to have some emotional drain when you see people going through pain. So it's still part of the cost, because naturally you'll have been in your house watching the TV and laughing all the way. Even spending time with somebody to share his own situations with you can leave you sad all day. So there is the emotional drain, there's the emotional cost. Then people may take you for granted. People may take your kindness for granted. It is also a cost, because you see somebody that you have been kind to, that you have, for example, you give a lot out of the little you have to somebody, and the person doesn't even know how to say thank you properly. It will pain you. It's a cost. But what do? You still go ahead to be kind. Now, there's another cost. You may be looking for somebody to be kind to and not really find. What is the solution to that? Search them out. All you need to do is an extra kind word. Now, nobody may need money around you, but somebody definitely need an extra time, an extra 5 minutes of you advising them, talking to them, trying to guide them in the way they should go. So that is a cost of kindness. And finally, What is the place of kindness in transgenerational impact? God, if you look at Psalm 112, it tells us about that man that has generational impact. It tells us about how kind that man is. It tells us about all the righteousness of that man. And by the way, kindness is a form of righteousness, because righteousness is doing the right thing. So all the external things you do, they are the things classified under righteousness. So for you to have transgenerational impact, you need kindness. To mentor people appropriately, kindness is required. You need to feel what they feel. You need to know that this person needs help. So you need to feel that, oh, because you have been in the pit before, and you know what it feels like to be in the pit, you know what it feels like that your mates are coming, you are hiding, and now you are free from it. Now you see somebody is going through the same thing. It should be easier for you to do the same. So you need to get to that level and know that for you to have generational impact, kindness is required. And the more you apply that kindness to people, the more God qualifies you for having transgenerational impact. The Bible says finally in 2 Corinthians 4:7 that we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. So remember, when you see somebody is weak, when you see somebody is not doing the right thing, who is really failing, and you are angry, apply the law of kindness. Note that God uses people with earthen vessels. What do we mean by earthen vessels? Vessels that are not gold. They are just normal. They are earthly. They are not desirable. But God puts his treasure in them. And that brings us to the adage in my tribe that says that the white pap comes out of the black pot. Meaning that the vessel does not look like what comes out of it. And that is why God takes the glory. So if you know God is the one taking glory out of your life, you know all your own weaknesses, but God still prefers to bless you, then it should be easier for you to be kind to other people. And I pray that as you and I begin to take steps to really show kindness to people, I pray that God will begin to take us to that level of transgenerational impact in Jesus' name. Amen. We have come to the end of the episode today. Okay, let's thank God. Father, we thank you tonight for the word you've sent our way. Thank you because you've shown us the much needed thing that needs to be added to godliness, which is kindness. Blessed be your name in Jesus' name. And Father, we ask that as you have taught us tonight, help us to be conscious of our need to be kind to other people, and help us to be conscious of the blessing that comes as a reward in the name of Jesus. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. And as we appear again next week, Father, let us be blessed. Let us have testimonies of the rewards of kindness in Jesus' name. Just like that woman, the wife, Rachel, was able to marry Isaac by reason of kindness, Father, help us to also get instant rewards of kindness this week as a proof of this topic in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Good to have you here today. And next week, make sure you come with someone. Stay ever blessed and see you next week in Jesus' name. Let's have a great week. Bye.
The good success.com